The week begins with a second whistleblower, this one claiming first-hand knowledge of President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president, in which Trump asked for an investigation into Joe Biden and his son and into the origins of the Russia investigation. And lawmakers are scheduled to take closed-door testimony this week from key State Department players in the ongoing impeachment inquiry. Let's bring in Washington Post White House Bureau Chief Philip Rucker. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
And you write, a torrent of impeachment developments has triggered a reckoning in the Republican Party, paralyzing many office holders. Really? Because those who show up on cable news, you know, I have Lindsey Graham, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, adamantly support the president. And there's also been some cracks. Britt Hume, a senior politics reporter for Fox News, tweeted out that the president's move in Syria is reckless. So how do you come to that conclusion?
Well, you know, a lot of the Republican senators, and that's who we've been paying close attention to because they will, of course, be the jurors in an impeachment trial if it gets to that stage. A lot of them have been trying to duck questions about the president's conduct with Ukraine, with China, regarding the Biden investigation request, and, you know, trying to basically buy some time because the facts keep changing. This is a fast-moving impeachment inquiry in the House, and a lot of Republican senators privately feel like the president, his conduct was improper, but they're not sure what, if anything, they're comfortable saying publicly because of the political calculations that they're making regarding their own Republican base.
Well, that brings us to Tucker Carlson, again, a Fox News voice that's been a confidant of the president's. He wrote an op-ed in the Daily Caller this past weekend saying the president's phone call was indefensible. There's no way to spin this as a good idea. It was wrong, but maybe not impeachable. Is that signaling a way out for Republicans? Wrong, but not impeachable?
I think it is. I think you just hit the nail on the head. Tucker Carlson seems to be trying to provide a roadmap for a lot of these Republican senators to be able to, in a way, clear their conscience by saying what they know to be true, which is that this conduct was improper, even maybe unlawful, but that they're not comfortable voting to remove the president from office and would rather leave that up to the voters in November of 2020, which is what, by the way, we're hearing privately from a lot of Republican strategists as the emerging consensus within the party.
We mentioned the president also saying in that Ukraine phone call that he wanted Ukrainians to also investigate something having to do with the origins of the Russia investigation. Now, Attorney General William Barr, we are now learning, went to Italy last month as part of the Justice Department's investigation into the origins of the Russia investigation. And to remind people, there was a professor in Italy who first told George Papadopoulos, a Trump campaign advisor, that Russians had dirt emails on Hillary Clinton. And Trump and others think that that professor was a plant from the CIA, perhaps, to trip up the Trump campaign. No proof of that. How unusual is it that an attorney general would go to track down a conspiracy theory like that?
Highly unusual. You know, there are attorney generals who sometimes become personally involved in Justice Department investigations, but not investigations of this nature. This is, as you said, there is no evidence that this is all true. These are sort of baseless allegations that the president and his allies in on the right and the conservative media have been fanning for some time here. It seems pretty clear that the attorney general believes them, or at least believes there's a possibility that there is truth in these allegations and is following what appear to be the directions of his boss in investigating this matter and taking personal ownership over it.
How about the Democrats, though? Are they failing to get ahead of this narrative? The president, as we know, repeating over and over the falsehood that Joe Biden had a prosecutor fired to protect his son. We know, reporting from the time, the prosecutor was fired as part of a global push because he wasn't investigating corruption. Biden's campaign reportedly failed to convince the Democratic National Committee to help him with this. They said, I believe, they can't pick a candidate to support. And, you know, is there any talk that he himself should better get out in front of this, or that maybe his son, Hunter Biden, should say something about, you know, making a mistake, which was viewed as working for a company that probably hired him to whitewash corruption?
Yeah, so that's a good question. You know, Biden and his advisors the last few weeks have really struggled to try to calibrate their response here to figure out exactly what to say, what kind of tone to strike, how aggressively to confront these allegations, how directly, frankly, to answer questions about them. And there's been a variety of responses so far. At the end of last week, we saw Biden sort of ratchet it up a little bit to really go after Trump forcefully. And yet he is still not directly engaged in the substance of some of what Biden – or of what Trump, rather, has thrown out there. Much of what Trump has been saying is baseless, without evidence, without fact. But nevertheless, there are questions about Hunter Biden's business relationships in Ukraine, in China, that Joe Biden has, you know, understandably, according to his advisors, not really engaged fully. And we'll see if he chooses to do so in the weeks to come.
Yeah. And Phil, we only have a half a minute. More testimony, closed door this week. But do you think there will be more texts?
There could be. There certainly could be. You know, the investigation continues at a very rapid pace, and we're learning new things every day. And I imagine we'll learn new information about all of this sometime this week.
Philip Rucker, Washington Post White House Bureau Chief, thank you so much.
Thank you.